From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on This Day in Maine, Friday, May 23rd, 2025. Republican State Senator James Libby announced that he's running for governor next year with a focus on energy and economic development. Steve Missler has more.
Libby, 64, is currently serving his sixth non-consecutive term in the Maine legislature. He previously ran for governor in 2002, losing to Republican nominee Peter Chinquette. He announced his candidacy in Standish and highlighted his experience in higher education and public service. He's a tenured professor at Thomas College. He said his goal is to boost Maine's economy through energy development, that he's interested in nuclear power. Libby also discussed overhauling Maine's new paid family and medical leave law so that it operates more like New Hampshire's program. While he expressed gratitude to serve in the Maine Senate, he lamented the lack of cooperation between political parties. He said that he would use the threat of a veto to force collaboration if he's elected governor. Libby is one of four Republicans to announce gubernatorial bids, and he's among nine candidates overall. That field is expected to grow because Democratic Governor Janet Mills cannot seek a third term. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
The American Civil Liberties Union of Maine is asking a court to release a Maine resident they say is being held unlawfully by ICE at the Cumberland County Jail. Adi Ambila, originally from the Democratic Republic of the Congo, has been in ICE custody since September after completing a sentence for two misdemeanor charges. Carol Garvin with the ACLU says ICE has stopped communicating with Ambila about his case, violating his due process rights.
There has been no movement to either remove him to his home country or another country or release him. He is stuck in limbo in this indefinite detention.
According to court records, Ambila was ordered deported in 2007 following a felony conviction, but was not removed because the DRC has no record of his birth and has denied him travel documents. The ACLU says that makes him effectively stateless. Gray New Gloucester High School will not have an American Sign Language program next school year after the district passed a budget Thursday night that cut the ASL teacher position. MSAD 15 Superintendent Chanda Turner says it's been difficult to find an ASL teacher for the program.
Over and over again, we were told that it was not an appealing position. The job prospects outside of the teacher contract were higher paying and allowed better flexibility.
Turner says students still have the option to access ASL instruction through early college programs. A solar company has been fined almost $236,000 by the Maine Department of Environmental Protection for polluting the Kennebec River during construction of a 5-megawatt project in Emden. DEP staff say the company disturbed three times more soil than allowed under its permit and that sediment from the site washed into nearby waterways because of inadequate erosion control. Tower partners who agreed to pay the penalty say they corrected the problems and have built a stormwater collection system to reduce runoff to neighboring properties. When President Donald Trump said he wanted to make Canada the 51st state and slapped 25% tariffs on Canadian imports in March, former Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau angrily shot back that Canadians would not come to Old Orchard Beach this summer. As Carol Bousquet reports, tourism businesses in York County are already dealing with the fallout from that rhetoric.
Seaside Inn owner Ken Mason says even before the official start of summer, his business has taken a major hit. Reservations are down nearly 20%.
Starting in February, we ended up getting so many cancellations from Canadians that we had to refund close to $7,000 in pre-booking deposits because the Canadians in the summer stay 7 to 12 days.
Mason says his Canadian guests told him they worried about their safety here. He says he tried to reassure them that they are welcome, that Maine is safe, and he advertised reduced rates. But that hasn't been enough to turn things around. In addition, Mason says tariffs on food supplies, linens, and toiletries that come from overseas are also hurting his bottom line. Just down the road from the Seaside Inn, Matthew Beaudoin and his family and friends played on Gooch's Beach on Monday, a holiday known as Victoria Day in Canada. He says they come to Maine from Montreal every May and October. But this year, after the president's insulting notion that Canada should become the 51st state, he says they almost decided to stay home.
We did not feel respected, so we didn't necessarily want to come to the U.S.
Beaudoin said that he had prepaid for their accommodations in December, so they made the decision to come anyway. Chris Whitaker of Ocean Park Realty in Old Orchard Beach says his vacation rental business is also down. He's had a steady and strong Canadian base for decades, but he says after the 51st state remark by President Trump, things changed.
For them, it was more of an emotional response to cancel and not spend their money here. So we typically rent about 400 vacation weeks every summer, and we're at about 360. So we've lost roughly about 10% of our bookings.
This week, Governor Janet Mills met with small business owners in Kennebunk to hear their concerns about the drop in Canadian tourism and tariffs. Canadians have a decades-long history of coming to York County to vacation, and Mills wants to reassure them that they will have a warm reception.
The hospitality industry is still vital to our economy, and I hope they do feel safe and welcomed here.
Mills told business owners that she plans to take her own road trip to New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island, and Quebec this summer to show Canadians how important they are to Maine. And she will meet with other New England governors and Eastern Canadian premiers at a summit in Boston June 16th to discuss shared priorities. According to the State Department of Tourism, nearly 48,000 Canadian visitors came to York County last year. And data show Canadians spend almost $500 million in Maine in 2024.
People love Maine, and the governor mentioned the brand is strong.
Carol Ann Ouellette, director of the Maine Office of Tourism, says the state launched a targeted digital and print marketing campaign 6 weeks earlier than normal and will continue to roll out new advertising in key markets, such as Quebec, Montreal, New Brunswick, and Ontario.
For us, it's just really important to continue to reach out to the people we know personally that we have relationships with in Canada and just continue to be there and be very present.
Ouellette says new domestic markets in Florida, Colorado, and North Carolina are also targeted because those states have direct flights to New England.
You know, if we think about when COVID was here and we all had to pivot, that's what we're doing. We're pivoting.
Ed Hodgson is the grant manager for the Maine Beaches Association, an agency that markets York County. He says recent upticks in activity in East Ontario and Quebec have him hopeful that as the political rhetoric fades, bookings will bounce back. Montreal visitor Matthew Beaudoin says he will see what comes with time.
We're happy we're here now, but we haven't booked for next year. Let's say it that way.
For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Carol Bousquet.
Maine organizations researching PFAS are the latest groups to face sudden grant terminations, this time from the Environmental Protection Agency. And while some are appealing those decisions, they say even if funds are reinstated, this has delayed important research into how PFAS moves through the food chain. Caitlin Badion has more.
The EPA has terminated grants for the University of Maine, the Passamaquoddy Tribe at CPEEC, the Mi'kmaq Nation, and the Central Aroostook Soil and Water Conservation District. All were focused on different areas of how PFAS behaves when moving through soil, water, plants, and livestock.
So it's just very strange, and I'm not sure why. So we don't really know why they canceled it, or I don't.
Shelley Stanley is the co-founder of Upland Grassroots.
And, you know, it's a four-year study, which is really important to get this data and understand PFAS better for the sake of human health and the environment.
Upland Grassroots is one of the organizations working with the Mi'kmaq Nation and the Central Aroostook Soil and Water Conservation District. All three are considered subcontractors working with the University of Virginia, the lead organization with the EPA grant for $1.6 million over 4 years. And now they've all had to figure out how to put their research on hold, or as much as they can.
Yeah, in our situation, we really can't stop.
Randy Martin is the executive director of the Central Aroostook Soil and Water Conservation District. He's been working to see how PFAS from irrigation water builds up in soil and how different plants absorb the chemicals.
In case the grant is reinstated, I have to continue to plant the crops on schedule and water the crops on schedule when needed, and then collect the samples and freeze them and store them.
Stanley says other groups are in the same boat as Martin. The Mi'kmaq Nation researchers are freezing samples of fiddleheads and ash trees. The termination letter from the EPA says the grants are no longer aligned with agency priorities. But that contradicts recent statements made by EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin. Last Thursday, Representative Shelley Pingree questioned Zeldin on the grant cancellations when he appeared before the House Appropriations Committee.
All were working on PFAS and their impacts to human health and our food supply is important work, and they're all a top priority. Since these grants are consistent with the EPA's priorities, do you know why they were terminated and what the status is of the Passamaquoddy Tribe grant?
Zeldin's response focused on the agency's current reorganization.
It's an important program. It's something that's congressionally appropriated. The agency is going through a reorg, so the way that the program and these grants are going to get administered are going to be different going forward.
When asked to comment on the grant terminations, an EPA spokesperson said, quote, maybe the Biden-Harris administration shouldn't have focused their radical agenda of wasteful DEI programs and environmental justice preferencing on the EPA's core mission of protecting human health and the environment. The differing explanations only make the situation more frustrating, Stanley says.
Now we're having to do a lot of outreach and trying to get the funds reinstated and trying to figure out like what's going on with the new EPA administration.
Pingree has sent an additional letter to the agency seeking answers for the contradicting responses on the terminations, calling them illegal and unconstitutional. The University of Virginia submitted an appeal on Wednesday on behalf of the entire research group, Stanley says. Randy Martin of the Central Aroostook Soil and Water Conservation District says the appeal process is a lot of work during a busy time of year.
Because the district has other research going on and things have to get put in and planted. And so when you're out in the, when you're supposed to be out in the field planting stuff, you kind of have to be in the office and doing calls and writing papers. And so it's like writing the grant all over again.
The Passamaquoddy Tribe Sipayik Environmental Department told the Maine Morning Star that they plan to appeal the termination, and the University of Maine says it is assessing whether to appeal. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Caitlin Badayan.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Join us tomorrow morning at 8 for Weekend Edition on Maine Public Radio. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.